Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Nations Church, so good to be with you online today. Welcome to the new era. However long this era will last for, we welcome you wherever you're at. It's so great that you've joined us in church today. Hey, we're going to pray over our offering, as we always do. We're going to pray over our prayer cards, wherever you're at. If you've got faith in your heart this morning, why don't you close your eyes, stretch out your hand as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in spite of everything that's going on around us, you are good, Father God. You are in control, Father God. And our hope is not in wealth. Our hope is not in the things that we see. But our hope is in you, Father God. And I pray over every giver. And I pray over everything that's been given. And I pray in these days, more so than ever before, that you would multiply, Lord God, what we give into your hands with faith and trust, that you would multiply it for a great kingdom effect, Father God, that your word would go further. And Lord, we just pray over every prayer request that has been lodged online or in person, Father God. We just ask that you would come and touch every person, Lord God, in need. And we declare that you are a miracle-working God in their lives. And we will not shrink back in fear, Father God, but we will press forward in faith, Father God, knowing that you are God and you rule over all. Father, I pray as we gather around the Word today, Father, I pray that you would touch every heart all around the world, no matter what circumstances people might be tuning in from, Father. I pray, Lord God, that they would hear your voice today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would have something personalized from you to their heart, to their mind, right? As your intention is for them today, Lord God, let them receive from you. And we pray in faith in Jesus' name. And everyone, wherever you are, said amen, amen, and amen. Wow, how about that? Our first church online. What interesting days we are living in. These are strange days we're living in. It's a bit strange bringing my message to you online this morning, as I'm sure it's strange for you all coming to church on a Sunday in your living room. And I always just say, with every situation, there is pros and there's also cons. We don't have to look very far to realize there's some cons, some significant cons to what's going on in the world around us. But there's also some pros, some pros. This moment is for you. If you have ever wished to go to church on Sunday in your pajamas, if you have ever not been able to be bothered, ladies, to do your hair and makeup on a Sunday, you know, I hear Deb Stewart saying amen. I see you, Matt Hennigan, in your tracky pants with your snacks. You are just loving. You know, these are your moment to shine, I think. Your moment to shine. Pros and cons with everything. And another pro of this season that we find ourselves in is that it's bringing the global church together like never before. And I just want to welcome people that might be tuning in from all over the world, especially in Cork and in Phnom Penh. It is so great. As Nations Church, we can come together as one, in one room, in one heart, in one mind, one family, to be on the same page for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. Another thing I want to mention is that we're just so proud of our nation's youth team. Maybe you've got a teenager. They had a service online on Friday night. Maybe your teenager participated in that and they just had an incredible time. We're hearing the stories. We're hearing the testimonies, even of healings happening as Nations Youth led the way in taking their service online. Incredible times that we're living in. Who's ready to receive the Word of God? If you're with someone in your living room, just turn to them and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I know I am ready to preach this Word. I feel like God's laid it on my heart. Maybe you were in the Myrie campus last Sunday, or maybe you've dialed into YouTube or even on the podcast. You would have heard our very own senior pastor, Pastor Ken Lee, bring an incredible message for this time that we're in. He called it the Believer's Crisis Toolkit. Maybe you heard that message already. If you haven't, I'd encourage you. Make sure you get online and have a listen to that. Such a good word for right where we're at right now. And he said that God's given us eyes, and he's given us ears, and he's given us a voice, and he's given us a heart as tools that we can respond to crises with. Powerful word. And I know that every single person listening to me right now, you would have had some sort of crises in your life before. You know, it's not unusual that crises strike us in our life. From time to time, things just happen. From time to time, things will come and they will blindside us, just like this coronavirus has blindsided the whole world at the moment. And you can find yourself in a situation you didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. Your heart didn't desire it, but nonetheless, you have to respond to it. It's just upon you, and you have to respond to it. And the responses to different things that go on in our life might be many and varied. There's lots of different ways people can respond. It's been very interesting observing the societal responses to this crisis that our world finds itself right in right now. If you're from Perth, Western Australia, you would know that the response of some people is to become obsessed with toilet paper. I don't know what it is. Maybe in Cork and Phnom Penh, you're much more sensible than us. But here, we've gotten obsessed with, that's one type of response, you know? Why not? It's annoying, but why not? But there's lots of other different responses that we've observed, haven't we? We've seen so much fear. We've seen so much panic. We've seen people be selfish. We've seen people start to hoard and all these sorts of things, filling their lives with anxiety and dread. You know, just because there's lots of responses doesn't mean that every response is going to be a good response. Not every response is going to be a response that is life-giving. Not every response is going to be a response that promotes love and promotes joy and peace and these sorts of things. And I feel like it lends itself to the question for us today and wherever you're tuning in from, how should we be responding? Like as believers in Jesus Christ, what should be our response? And I want to put it to you that our response should be an altogether different response. We should be bringing a different response, a better response. And that's why I've called this message today, I've called it a different response. In a time of crisis, regardless of what is going on in the world around us, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And because of that, I believe that we are empowered to bring a different response. I remember one occasion in my life where I was so aware of a different response that occurred in me. It was back in 2012, and Pastor Ken and I were actually in a serious car accident. It was pretty horrible. We were just driving straight and a guy made a right-hand turn in front of us and we T-boned him at full speed. Pastor Ken was driving at the time and he didn't have an opportunity even to apply the brake. And it was intense as we hit this car. The force of the impact actually drove the other car in front of us and wrapped it around a traffic light. And our car, we spun 180 degrees and all of the airbags deployed. There was smoke that filled the cabin. There was glass and all this sort of thing in our vehicle. It was a write-off. And I remember just sitting there in the few minutes immediately after the accident, I was still strapped in to the passenger seat of the car. And I tell you, every single one of my five senses was just peaking, absolutely peaking. My eyes could see the carnage, could see the flashing lights. My ears were ringing from the airbags when they deployed. My ears could hear screams and the sirens blaring. I could smell smoke, I could smell the engine oil, I could smell, and not to mention the pain I could feel in my body. I was in excruciating pain, maybe some of the worst pain that I've ever felt in my life, but In spite of all this chaos that was going on outside of me, I became aware of a different response inside of me. Even in the intensity of this crisis, I became so aware of God's presence and the fact that He was with me and the fact that He was more real or powerful than anything going on outside of me. And I was filled with this overwhelming sense of peace, no fear. I didn't even know the extent of my injuries at that point. I didn't even know if I'd be able to walk. I was in so much pain, but there was no panic in me. There was no dread. There was just this sense of peace, absolute peace. And I was just this quite profound moment in my Christian journey. It was quite a profound moment as I realized the reality that I have in Christ is a greater reality. The reality that I have is greater than what's going on outside of me. It's greater than even what's going on in my flesh. The reality that I have in Christ is the greatest reality. I want to suggest to you that the reason we can bring a different response is because we belong to a different kingdom. Jesus, when He walked the earth, He actually modeled to us that He was from a different kingdom. And because He was from a different kingdom, He always brought a different response. When you think about it, everyone in His day would not go anywhere near a person with leprosy, but Jesus walked straight up to the person with leprosy with compassion in His heart, and He touched that person with leprosy, and He healed them, and He made them whole. That was a different response. When they mocked Jesus, when they accused Him, when they falsely accused Him, He remained silent. He didn't defend Himself. Who knows? That's a different kind of response. What about when the storm arose on the Sea of Galilee and that the wind and the waves were buffeting the boat that Jesus and His disciples were on? What did He do then? He slept. He slept. That's a different response. Every single other person was freaking out because of the storm. They're all like, we're going to die. We're going to drown. But Jesus is sleeping. It wasn't a sleep of disinterest. It wasn't a sleep of indifference. It was a sleep of absolute confidence. It was a sleep of perfect assurance. Assurance in the authority of His Father. Assurance in the fact that the purposes of God would prevail. Assurance that they indeed would go to the other side, just as He said. Jesus on earth, He modeled to us how to bring this different response. And when He left the earth, He gave us the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to empower us to bring a different response as well. We are empowered to bring a different response. And I want to say that whatever we might be facing, the first response we need to bring is a response of faith. A response of faith. So many people right now are bringing a response of fear. You don't have to look very far and look very wide to understand that many are bringing a response of fear. But we, first and foremost, must be those who bring a response of faith. After all, we're believers. Let me say it again. We are believers. We believe in God. We believe in His Word. We believe all His promises are yes and amen. We speak the amen. That is our response of faith. We speak the amen to the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, a very common scripture about faith. And it says this, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I think sometimes, so many times, people get a little bit messed up with this word faith. They hear that scripture and they think about faith for something. Faith for miracles. Faith for healing, faith for the virus to stop, faith for the supernatural and all these sort of things. But what happens if your faith for these things is a little bit weak? What happens if you're not feeling much faith for these sorts of things? People conclude then, well, I mustn't be very pleasing to God. It must be impossible then for me to please God. But let's have another look at Hebrews 11 verse 6 more closely, because it doesn't talk to us about faith for something. It talks to us about faith in someone. Faith in someone. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is. Or another version says, must believe that he exists. Believe that God exists. The first faith, I put it to you, that the faith that anchors our soul in times of trouble is not faith for something. It's faith in someone. Faith in our God. He's so good. When we come to him, we believe that he is. We believe that he is mighty. He is powerful. He is good. He is loving. He is still in control. This is our faith, and this faith is the sort of faith that actually pleases God. When your faith in God is established, faith for things will begin to rise. Who knows, it's a whole lot easier to believe for healing if you're intimately acquainted with the healer. It's so much easier to believe for protection if you know who your protector is, that he is God and he is good. The scripture says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek healing. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek for a blessing. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Just him. Seek after him. In a time of crisis, our faith response is to just look to him. And if you don't know what to pray and you don't know how to pray, just look to him. Just look to him. And if you feel fear creeping into your heart again, just look to him. And just remember that he has always been God and he always will be God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 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 The nature of our God is that he is good and he does good. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, turn to someone, or even if you're on your own, just say all things. All things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for good. That's not just a theory. That has been precedented in his word, in scripture, time and time and time and time again. You know, your God is a master. He is an absolute genius at taking horrible things and crafting them, working them, turning them, changing them together for the good of those who love him. That's who he is. Think about it in scripture. Joseph was thrown into slavery. Moses, as an infant, was thrown into the River Nile. Go figure. You know, think about the New Testament. The early church got so heavily persecuted and scattered all over. There's so many precedents in Scripture. None of these things were good, people. None of these things were good. But God used them all together for good. He took what the enemy meant to harm, and he turned it around for good. He's doing good right now. God is good right now. We might not be able to see it. We might not be able to perceive it. It matters not. Our faith response is that God is good and he's going to work all things together for good. Amen? Amen. I think a faith response is always going to lead to a response of praise. A response of praise. We need to bring a response of praise. There's a lot of people complaining through hard times. A lot of people are criticizing, but we need to bring, as people in Christ, a response of praise. Our praise was never supposed to be contingent on the circumstance around us. Our praise is contingent on the fact that God is still on his throne. David in scripture, he modeled a response of praise. He was great at knowing how to praise in every circumstance. In David's early years, we know that he was anointed by the prophet Samuel to become king over all of Israel. We know that about David. We know that from there he went on to epically defeat Goliath, a crazy victory for Israel. But then after that, for a little while, all hell actually broke loose in his life. The reigning king at the time, King Saul, fueled by his own insecurities and jealousy, actually sought to kill David. And so much so was David's life in danger that he had to run for his life, being actually hunted by an animal, dodging spears and such. And for a time in that season of his life, he actually had to hide in a cave, take refuge in this place they called the Cave at Adullam. Who knows, that's not an ideal situation. Who knows, running for your life is not a great place to be. That's a bit of a crisis. But David knew how to bring a response of praise. It was from the cave that he penned this Psalm 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. What a beautiful expression of praise right there in the cave. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's not I will bless the Lord in the good times. It's not I will bless the Lord sometimes. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. It was an act of his will. I will bless the Lord is actually the opposite of I won't bless the Lord. You know, I will bless the Lord is reflective of the fact David actually had a choice in this moment. I will bless the Lord is like saying, I choose to bless the Lord. Regardless of what's going on around me, I choose. He had a choice in his adverse circumstance, just like we have a choice in our adverse circumstance. Will we bring a response of praise? David uses this word magnify. I love this word magnify. He said, magnify the Lord with me. To magnify something is to make it large in your perception. David could have magnified the fact that he was on the run. He could have magnified that his home for now was a cave, but instead he chooses, I will magnify the Lord. I will perceive him as large in my situation. See, magnifying the Lord doesn't actually alter the size of God. Of course it doesn't. God is who he is. Nothing and no one can touch who he is. But when we choose to magnify the Lord, he actually becomes large in our perception. It's our perception that changes when we bring him into focus. Suddenly our vision aligns, our vision corrects. Suddenly we're empowered to see him as he is, that he is big and he is powerful no matter what the situation or circumstance. If you want to know how to bring a response of praise, I would say choose to magnify the Lord. Stop magnifying your newsfeed. Stop magnifying the state of the economy right now, but just simply magnify the Lord. The third response I feel like we need to bring in these times is a response of generosity. There's so many people bringing a response of stinginess and hoarding, but I believe our response needs to be a response of generosity. I'm not just talking about generosity financially, although that might be a part of it, but I'm talking about maintaining a generous spirit, keeping a generous heart. Who knows, generosity is a lot less to do with what is given, a lot more to do with the heart that it's given from. That's what generosity is. And Paul instructs the Christians in Rome in the way they should conduct themselves. And he says this in chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. You know that word hospitality means love for strangers. practice love for strangers. How amazing is that? Paul is actually describing a people with a generous spirit. He is describing a big-hearted people. With Christ in us, we ought to be those sorts of people. The walls of the world are closing in on us right now. Everything feels, yeah, like it's just getting a little bit smaller. And the response of many is to actually get smaller with it. The response of many is to actually become a little bit more insular, a little bit more self-seeking. But I just want to say it to us, Nations Church, and whoever you are listening, we are not those people. We are not going to become a small-minded people. Just because our world is getting smaller doesn't mean our hearts have to get smaller. Just because the borders of countries might be shutting down doesn't mean the borders of our heart need to shut down. You can still share with others. You can still bless on others. You can still listen to others and show care for others and help and give assistance to others. You can smile at others. You can do that. There is no one and nothing that can control the borders of your heart other than you. You're the only one responsible for the size of your heart. There is no government restriction. There is no mandate. There is no regulations that can shut down your heart. Only you can do that. And you know, your heart could even be getting larger while the world is getting smaller. You can be growing in faith. You can be expanding in hope and love and all of these things. The Proverbs say in chapter 11, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Larger and larger. It doesn't have a disclaimer at the bottom, except if you happen to be in a global pandemic. It doesn't say that. It says the world of the generous is going to get larger and larger. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. You want to know how to maintain the boundaries of your heart, even in a crisis. Just stay generous. Bring a response of generosity. And my final thought is that we need to bring a response of together. Turn to your neighbor and say, together. And if you're on your own, shout, together. That makes no sense, but do it anyway. It's fun. Next week, you can gather together. Amen. You know, so many people are bringing this response of withdrawal, this response of isolation, even division, even racial division. But our response should be a response of together. It's very important that we continue, Nations Church, to gather small at this time. Now, I put the obvious disclaimer out there. We're going to gather safe. We're going to gather. We love and honor our PM. We're going to observe every regulation that has coming from the Australian government. We're going to practice everything that has been advised and not breach that. Nations Church, we're not going to breach that. The social distancing, the hygiene, all those sorts of things. We're going to really honor those things. But to the degree that it is still safe to gather, to the degree that we're still allowed to gather, we definitely should still gather. We should still gather. I'm so thankful right now that the church is not the building. As much as we love our buildings, we dearly love our buildings, and I pray that you're repenting for every time we've taken this building, these buildings for granted, you know. But the church has never actually been about the building. The church is the people. It's you and it is me. We might have lost our ability to meet right now in buildings, but we have not lost our ability to be the church. We have not lost that. When Jesus speaks about gathering the church, he actually set the bar really low. He established a very low quorum for just how many would constitute his church. When he said this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them." Or another version says, "There I am in the midst of them." I want to speak to you right now, gathered in twos or threes or small groups or wherever you are in any part of the world, just by coming together in His name, Jesus is with you. Jesus is for you. You are a genuine, bona fide expression of the Church of Jesus Christ on the earth. You're not a lesser church. You're not a plan B. You're not a B grade option. Jesus is there. And He said, where two or three are gathered, you've got the same Jesus. You've got the same authority. You've got the same mandate. You've got the same Holy Spirit. It's the church. You are the church. We read earlier in Psalm 34 and verse 3, when David, in the cave of Adullam, he said this. He said, "Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His holy name together." I want you to know, he didn't just say, "Magnify the Lord." He didn't just say, "Exalt His name." He said, "Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His holy name together." David understood the power of doing life together. He understood the people he was addressing. They were a bunch of men that had gathered to him in the cave. The Bible tells us that these men were in different types of troubles. They came to him discontented. They came to him distressed. They came to him in debt. They came to him down and out. They gathered around him in the cave. I tell you, they were a motley crew. This bunch of strung out men gathering around a leader who was on the run for his life, you know, in a cave. It's not really squad goals. It's not really hashtag squad goals. But in the midst of all that, that context, that situation, David started reciting this psalm. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips." Magnify the Lord with me. Come and exalt. Let us exalt His name together. In other words, He's saying, stop looking at your troubles. Stop looking at the stresses. Let's just get together and praise Him. Let's just get together and remind ourselves that He's still on the throne. And I just know that in that cave, atmospheres would have shifted. And those downcast spirits, they would have lifted. And that praise would have erupted. It was the writer to Hebrews that spoke. He was speaking to Jewish Christians. And he said, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop gathering together." It was a message to them then. I believe it's a message to us now. Don't isolate yourself. This is so important because when we gather together, you encourage one another. When you gather together, you lean on one another. You stir one another up, the Bible says, to love and good works. When you gather together, the depressed get lifted and the hopeless, they find new hope, and the fearful find fresh faith. And that is the power of together. How are we going to get through this? We're going to get through it together. We're going to get through it together with some people from your Connect group, with your family, with another family, with some Christian friends. We're going to harness the power of together and bring a response of together. Amen. 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 We're going to shift, you know. The world around us is freaking out right now. The world around us actually needs us to be a people who bring a different response. Amen. There's enough fear in the world right now. There is enough complaining. There is enough isolation. Nobody needs more of that. They need a different response. They need a people that would rise up and bring some faith and bring some praise and bring some generosity and bring some together. They need those sort of people. And when we bring those things, I believe it's like light cutting through darkness. We get to be a carrier of hope. And I believe that when we do that, in the situations and circumstances we find ourselves in, people are going to look to Jesus because of us. I believe with all my heart we have an opportunity in this time to be salt and to be light in our world like never before. Absolutely like never before. But it starts with God's people bringing a different response. A different response. Wherever you're at right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is with you. We're just going to have, like we do in just about every nation's church service, we're going to just take a moment, take an opportunity for the Lord to minister. Because you might have been listening to this word from me today, and the Holy Spirit might be convicting you, not condemning you. That's not from the Holy Spirit. The scripture says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But bring a conviction that maybe your response hasn't been altogether different. Maybe your response has been a bit the same. And I need to remind you this morning that the Holy Spirit comes to fill you. The Holy Spirit is upon you to empower your life. I'm not asking you to try and drum up a different response in your flesh. I can tell you already, it will fail. Anything we do in our flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. And I'm believing right now where you are for the Holy Spirit to fall, for Him to empower your life again, for Him to fill you and fill you and fill you so that the overflow of your life becomes a different response. So that when you move into your world and your sphere, you splash off into the community around you a different response. Maybe you've been struggling in the area of fear. Maybe you've been struggling to believe God in this moment. In history, maybe you've been struggling to see Him as He is and trust Him with your affairs and trust Him with your family and trust Him with your health. Maybe that's been a struggle of your life. Right now, in your living room, in your car, wherever you're at, just turn your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. Do business with the Holy Spirit. He knows no boundaries. He is in the room with you. Maybe you've been struggling to bring a song of praise, to bring a response of praise. Maybe, if you're honest, you've been magnifying the wrong thing. Maybe you've been magnifying your newsfeed. You've been magnifying the economic downturn. You've been magnifying your bank balance. You've been magnifying all of these things. It's time to start magnifying the Lord. It's time to start lifting Him up again in your prayer and in your praise. It's time to start declaring the praises of God. It won't just bless the Lord. It will actually shift your soul. It will actually lift you out of the place that you are at right now. Maybe you've been feeling the walls closing in on your heart because of fear. Because of everything that's going on, you've just felt yourself shutting down a bit. I want to tell you, you were made for generosity. Christ is in you. You were born to be big-hearted. You were born to be generous-spirited. And if you're feeling like you're responding in any of those areas today, or maybe just generally you're saying to the Lord, I want to be a person that brings a different response. Right where you're at, just raise your hands to heaven. He's with you. He is with you. His Holy Spirit's giving you grace. Giving you grace. Giving you grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I just want to pray for you. If you've got your hands raised, I believe God's going to touch you right where you're at. And we pray, Father God, we just so thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are unchanging. We thank you, God, that you are in control. We thank you that no matter what our eyes might see around us, we call you good. We believe that you are working all things together for good. We don't come into agreement with the report of the news. We don't come into agreement with the report of the word. We come into agreement with all of your promises that are yes in Christ. And Father, I pray right now for everyone struggling with faith. Lord, if they're stuck in fear, I pray fresh faith would rise in their heart right now in Jesus' name. I pray you would give them eyes to see you as you are, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that a new song of praise would bubble up in everybody's heart, Father God, that they would magnify the Lord, that they would magnify you and you alone. Be lifted high over every family. Be lifted high over every person. Be lifted high over every marriage. Be lifted high over every unwell person, Father God. We command miracles in sick bodies, Father God. We demand protection from that coronavirus, Father. We pray for every one of our evergreens, every one of our seniors, Father God. Let their hearts not be troubled, God. Let their hearts not fear, Father God, because you are in control. And I pray for our church in this hour, God, that we would rise up in faith, Father, and that as the world sees us, they would glorify you, Father God. As you empower a different response in us, it would lead to many, 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 many coming to know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and finding relationship with you. Touch every single person that's responding to you right now. Oh, I pray it in faith. I pray it in victory. I pray it because of your authority. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, you can praise him. Wherever you're at, praise him. Wherever you're at, give him some glory. Wherever you're at, tell him that you love him. That nearly brings our church online experience to an end. But like we do at every single Nations Church service, I want to speak to you. I don't know who's on the other end of this computer, this device. I don't know who's watching. And I just reckon there could be some people out there and you've dialed in and you don't know Jesus. You don't know him. You don't have a relationship with God. Yes, a relationship with God, not a religious experience. Religion's not going to help you one bit in a time like this, but I tell you what's going to help, a relationship with God who loves you, who's for you, who can fill your life with peace. He can fill you with hope. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. Jesus came to earth, the Son of God. He walked the earth. He died on a brutal cross. It was horrible. And in his own flesh, he took upon his own flesh your sin and my sin and your shame and my shame and everything that we've ever done wrong that we wished we didn't. He took it upon himself to make us clean, to make us whole, and to make us new. And you can receive and know and experience the love of God, your Father, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, your Savior. You can do that. How? By simply inviting him into your life. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from a hopeless existence, saved from hell on earth, saved for all eternity. You can know that relationship with God, your Father. And if you're in your living room, in your car, in a cafe right now, and you're saying, I want to do that. I want to give my life to God. I want to make my peace with God and invite Jesus into my heart. I'd be so honored to just lead you in a prayer. Very simple. But it's a prayer of faith. A prayer that says, I believe and I receive. It's that simple. And today, if you pray that with your whole heart, from your heart, you can be assured, you can have an absolute assurance that you've made your peace with God and you can begin your new life in Him today. So I'm going to pray, And if you're watching and you want to pray along with me, I'll say a line, you say it after me, and this will be your moment. Are you ready to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again so that I could have a brand new life. And Father, I ask that you come into my heart, that you'd forgive my sin, that you'd give me a new start. Wash me clean. Give me a purpose. I want to live with you. I want to live for you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. That is so good. That is so good. If you just said that prayer for the first time, or maybe you said it for the first time in a long time, we are stoked for you. We want to say welcome to the family of God. We know that he's going to bless your life, and we'd love to connect with you, just like I just preached. Don't do this alone. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to know your name so we can do this journey together. So if you, on the platform that you're on, just scroll down, you'll see a link that says, I have decided. Decided what? Decided to follow Jesus. Click on that link. Fill in that form. Let us know who you are, and one of our pastoral team will call you in the next few days and get to know you. Are we good? Who thinks it'd be a good idea to just worship just a little bit more? Thanks, team, for leading us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.